Welcome to the Ant On Podcast, where Ant is on anything and everything. This episode, Ant on Kristen. Hello, and welcome to the 14th episode of the Ant On Podcast. Now, every other episode that you have listened to, because I know each and every one of you has listened to every single one the second that it comes online, you will have realized that it's all about comics. It's been all about comic books and comic book conventions. 13 episodes all about comic books. Well, this episode is going to change all that. At the beginning of each episode, I say that Ant is on anything and everything. And that comes into play right here because I realized I wanted to do a little more freestyle type of podcast with some friends on the AB Conversation. We have a very structured and outlined podcast going through movies and television and comics and video games and food and all that stuff. And thanks to podcasts like Party Truck USA, Tell 'em Steve Dave, those kind of podcasts are very freelance as far as just kind of shooting the shit, if you will. And I have brought a very special guest that will be perfect for shooting said shit. And you can hear someone now. Here is my guest here on the Ant On Podcast, Kristen. Hello.
How are you?
I am excellent. We are pretending like we are talking for the first time, even though we had like a 15-minute conversation leading up to the recording. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Yeah, we basically tested the equipment. You are Skyping in from New Jersey.
I am.
That is crazy.
And that was my sister singing.
Oh, so actually your sister was the first one, exclusive guest here on the podcast on your episode. What do you feel about that?
She stole my thunder.
Well, we will correct that by giving you plenty of time to speak about things. Yeah, I heard the singing, but I wasn't sure if that was you, and I thought that was a good way to interrupt, but then it ended up being your sister. That works too. What I have set up here, Kristen, you know this, but our audiences don't know this, is that I wanted to talk about some offbeat news, some stuff that'll just lead into some random conversations, and I decided to do an internet search for some offbeat news, because whenever I turn on the real news, it's usually depressing, and it's boring, and talking about, you know, what tragedy struck here, and all the, you know, what's going on with the weather. I don't like any of that kind of news. So I found some news that I do like, and we're going to start off with an article from boingboing.net. Never heard of the website until now. Have you heard of Boing Boing?
I have not.
Okay, well, Boing Boing is going to be supplying our first story, which the headline, burglar surprised to discover the lady he's robbing is an armed axe-throwing champ. This happened at the beginning of November. This was reported by Cory Doctorow. So I just give those credits out there because I don't want them barking up my tree saying I didn't give them credit where credit's due. But also, that would be amazing for the podcast to have an actual writer on here, you know, arguing that I'm stealing their work, right?
Always.
So,
like with my music.
Yeah, exactly. Kristen was playing some music that I had to say that we had to nix that so the Spice Girls didn't come and sue us. But if you were to be sued by anyone, wouldn't the Spice Girls be the best ones to be sued by?
Hell yeah. Can you imagine going into work and you're like, listen, I got a call out. I'm getting sued by the Spice Girls.
You have it's a very expensive meet and greet, but it's several meet and greets as you go through court and everything. And if it keeps on going, if you make that trial so difficult, you're getting more for your money right there.
And I'm sure you're getting their autograph too on some paperwork.
Exactly that. And then also, pretty much an unlimited amount of photo ops because, you know, these things are always videotaped for security purposes. And sometimes they're broadcasted to television and the internet. Imagine how many screen grabs you could take of you wearing an orange jumpsuit and all the Spice Girls wearing whatever they want to wear.
Yeah, but it makes you wonder, do prisoners actually wear orange jumpsuits?
Yeah.
It seems a bit too cliche.
Yeah, it you really think it, you think...
Every movie's different. Some have orange jumpsuits, and others have, like, white shirts and pants.
Yeah, it might just be on a budgetary, if the independent movie or something, they're looking, you're like, okay, anyone have any orange jumpsuits? No, okay. I guess our prisoners are going to be wearing Spice Girl t-shirts today, so.
There you go.
Okay, so back to the article. We have a retired competitive axe thrower surprised burglars who'd broken into her home and chased them off. Robin, with a Y, because I know you were very confused, Kristen, right? You thought it was Robin with an I?
I actually did.
See? Even though we are friends that we have never met in person, we only met online, I already knew that you were just already off track and you couldn't follow the story. So Robin was...
I hear Robin and I think of how I met your mother.
And, yeah, I usually think that, and then I also think, you know, Batman and Robin, obviously, but...
I think
of Kobe Smulders on, like, at least 25 times a day anyway, so... Robin Irvine of Hemet, California, if I'm pronouncing that right, caught a burglar trying to steal her jewelry while she slept with her cat, and she snatched up her favorite axe and brandished it at him until he ran off. I guess my favorite part of that is the fact that if you didn't know what this headline was, just, like, grabbed her favorite axe, like, that's not a normal thing to read, I think. If somebody were to break into your room right now, Kristen, what would be the closest thing that you would grab to defend yourself?
Bat that I keep on the side of my bed.
And is that bat for security purposes, or are you a big...
Oh, yeah. Me and my sisters have weapons stored all throughout the house. Like, I watch far too many movies for anything stupid to happen.
That's perfect, because actually, to bring this back to comic books, there's a comic book called The Mockingdead right now, which is sort of a parody of the Walking Dead, obviously, because of the name, but it takes place with zombies coming into a real-life scenario, and when you watch zombie movies and television shows, they never know what to do because they've never seen zombies before.
Mm-hmm.
But if that happened to us, we definitely know how to defend ourselves because we've seen movies, like you had said, with, you know, having the bat and the weapons. So this comic book plays off of that, where they actually have a group of people that have done studies on this, and they go to these tapes and articles and information and realize how to actually defend themselves. So that actually makes perfect sense because, you know, if a zombie would walk in right now, we're not just going to be like, oh my God, what is this? What should we do? And we're going to know exactly what to do.
That's even like the memes on Facebook where it says how to survive a zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm. They got, like, the treadmills all around the house.
Exactly.
So they just keep running, trying to get into the house, but they're obviously not going to go anywhere.
And what's funny is that you would grab your favorite bat. I would actually grab... What's funny is that it probably would be an axe, because I've got the Buffy axes. Buffy axes and Serenity swords and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but why would you waste a souvenir like that? Go for a steak.
I do have a bag of steaks, and I picked this article specifically out of the pile that I had, knowing that you are a Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... I'm trying to remember how we came to find each other on Twitter. Do you remember it all? Like how...
I think it was Buffy.
Yeah, like, was it maybe, like, through an Amber tweet or something? Like, I don't remember who contacted who, but that's probably where it started.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, my, that was years ago.
Well, yeah, that's just it, like, with as
now
many...
Now you think about it, that was years ago.
Yeah, and I
have no idea.
I basically have this question for any Twitter friend that I'm going to Skype in with. Hopefully that they will have the answer, because I will not have the answer, because... I've met so many, and obviously through Glee and stuff too, you're a big Glee fan, so all of our worlds were combining. But to remember exactly how that happened, I don't remember, so... But whatever. So she grabbed her favorite axe. She says she chose not to throw it at him, though she's pretty sure that she could have paralyzed him if she had chosen to do so. The police have later arrested the 22-year-old Nicholas Uwala... With many of her possessions, she believes that he had at least one accomplice who got away. Miss Irvine is a sweet lady and is wont to utter phrases. Now, this is Cory Doctorow's writing here. She is wont to utter phrases like, "If you're going to my house, you're not walking out." So, yeah. I'd like to say that's pretty safe for you and your bat and your weapons at your house, too, huh?
A little bit.
But yeah, that's
a sweet old lady who just happens to be a professional axe thrower.
That's got to be, like, the best surprise, you know, to throw onto someone. Because, yeah, you're always in that situation where you're helpless. And the fact that this is basically a robber robbing Buffy Summers' house, realizing that she's the vampire slayer. It's basically...
Yeah.
It's basically what this story is.
There was a video or something. What was it? I don't know if it was on YouTube.
All right.
Where, like, some guy tried kidnapping a little kid in an elevator. And she just come home from, what, like, karate practice or something?
Nice.
And she took, like, she flipped him over and, like, he was trying to run out the door as soon as it opened.
That's awesome. I'm trying to think, I think maybe my size would help me. I don't know any karate or things like that, but I've seen enough movies, like we said, that I think I could probably defend for myself pretty good. Or I could challenge them to a sing-off or a dance-off, because I have Dance Dance Revolution and Glee Karaoke. I think that would work. That would probably work. Just to use my skills, you know. Because I don't think my yogurt ordering skills at work would really help in a situation like that.
I think that game is fixed, because every time me and my sister played it, she would always win.
Which, the karaoke or dancing?
The karaoke.
The Glee one?
Yep. I think it's fixed.
Yeah, I don't, I haven't played it with that many people. I think I had one night of it where we had like three or four people, and that was years ago, but otherwise it was mostly me just playing and singing sad songs. But it was still fun. Let's see. The former axe-throwing competitor grabbed the weapon she keeps by her side at all times. He froze at first. I shocked him with my voice, and then he took off. So I don't know if he actually saw the axe. You know, I guess maybe he was startled and then looked, and she was holding the axe. But she goes, "There was no way I could have caught him, but I could have thrown it." Yeah, this was like a little recap at the end of the article, which is basically repeating what it just said. So that's pretty much the end of that. But we pretty much discussed that I think both of us would be very equipped to be a, you know, like a axe thrower. You know, not that we've won championships for batting and axing, but all you need is that weapon to toss at someone, and then you've got the advantage.
Right. I can throw things.
Well, yeah, that's... I'd say you can't throw them. Like, I can throw, too.
I have a fairly decent aim. I think I'll be good.
As long as I'm not throwing with my left arm, I'll be good. I am left-handed, but I only write left-handed. I do everything else right-handed. So if I was dribbling a basketball or...
We're twins!
yes, maybe. Twins that have, like, what, 10 years separation?
Something like that, yeah.
That's an article for a future podcast, I think.
Yeah. My family makes fun of me because I'm the only lefty.
Well, now you are part of my left-handed family, too, so... Or something. I don't know what that means. So that was the first article. How do you think that went?
Not too bad.
It's pretty good. Got off into some nice conversation. That's what I'm looking for when doing these... doing these kind of podcasts for future guests and future episodes, you know, hopefully to have you back as long as you're having fun with it. And basically just have these off-ball topics, which, by the way, I have another one from oddityscentral.com. Have you heard of that website?
I haven't heard of anything.
Okay. I got it through my... The what?
A link on Twitter. I probably don't read.
See, my Flipboard app that I have on iPhone, I can just...
You're breaking up.
Okay, I can hear you good. Can you hear me good now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? the Flipboard app on my iPhone will take news that I want, whether it's geek news, comic news, TV, whatever, and then I start scrolling through under normal news, and then there's offbeat news, and then it just brings me all of these articles from the internet. So I'm not going to these individual sites. Instead, they're coming to me. So Oddity Central has brought us the next one, which French restaurants seat guests by how good-looking they are. Have you heard? Have you heard that?
I haven't heard of it. I've heard of things similar to it.
Well, this person, Oana B, on November 12th, reported this. Looks are undoubtedly very important, but some people make too much of physical appearance. A group of restaurants in Paris accused two of their former employees of seating clients according to their good looks. Here's a quote. The good-looking ones are led to the good places where they can be easily seen, claimed the former employees. And as for the non-good-looking ones, it is imperative that they be dispatched to the corners of the room.
But what happens if you're with someone that looks good and then the other person's not as good? Where do they put you then?
Then they hand you walkie-talkies and one person sits in the middle of the restaurant, the other one's on the outskirts, maybe even outside at a table, and they have to have their dinner conversation through a walkie-talkie, I'm guessing. Yeah, so that seems obviously very mean. I don't think they're doing this at places like McDonald's or Arby's. As we're talking about a French restaurant in Paris, I'm not going to Paris anytime soon, so I suppose I don't have to feel discrimination. But I think I would probably be put front and center, no doubt. Everyone else
right on display, right in the window.
Exactly. There might even be a statue of me there for when I'm not eating there, just so they have like a bar, like, you know, the bar's up to here, and you have to. You know,
top it.
Exactly. Which is going to be tough, I must say. The restaurants accused of having such a shallow policy are strategically situated near popular tourist attractions. Les Georges, I guess, I don't know how to speak French, is in the famous Centre Pompidou, while Café Marly is located near the Louvre, right?
I don't know. I can barely speak English, let alone French.
I think it's the Louvre, the museum. Apparently, this marketing strategy has a lot to do with the way in which the two restaurants are perceived by those passing by them. In fact, the staff members in charge of placing the guests at their tables were allegedly confronted for seating less attractive people at the best tables. So can you imagine that to like be, let's say you're an unattractive person put in the center, and halfway through your lobster, a manager comes up and just says, oh, excuse me, sir, you're fucking ugly. We're going to have to put you over in the corner. We made a mistake. That's basically what they're saying. That wouldn't be good.
I know different popular stores, like in malls and stuff like that, they specifically hire, like... Mm-hmm. Hot people.
Yeah, and especially when they're just people that are, you know, whether you're attractive or not, you're basically going to be paying the same when you go to one of these French restaurants. And I guess if I've gone into a restaurant, I guess I had never requested a table near some pretty people. I guess I'm there just to eat rather than sightsee. But that's just me. Let's see, there's a quote here. What are these ugly mugs doing at this table? Everyone can see them when they come in. It's very bad for our image. The employees were allegedly reprimanded when they broke the rule. The only exception to this rule are celebrities who, regardless of their looks, are automatically offered the best seats in the house. Okay, let's take random ugly celebrity A. We'll call them Celebrity A. Celebrity A comes in, and first they see that they're ugly, so they want to put them... They're like, oh, we have a table over in the corner. But then they think, oh, shoot, what if they're famous? Like, how do they go about... Do they ask for the full name and then Google search them, throw them up on IMDb or something? I don't know. How, you know... obviously, if they're a celebrity, you probably know them. But what if an unattractive...
They're like that off celebrity that you've never heard of.
Yeah, so what if that unattractive celebrity was offended that he was being seated with people of his kind, so to speak, even though he has a celebrity status? That could create an uproar, I think. Let's see what else happened here. If people are seated accordingly to their attractiveness, what happens when people call to make reservations? That's an interesting thing, too. So I figured,
they probably leave, like, four tables available.
I'm going to be the customer. You're going to be the lady answering the phone at the restaurant at Cafe Marley, we'll call it, because that's what they cited in the article here. One at the Louvre Museum, the Louvre. So, this is me calling. Ring, ring, ring.
No answer.
Ring. You already know that I'm unattractive, so you screened the call. Apparently, I'm calling.
Depends on if I like your name or not, if I'm picking up.
Apparently, I called through either, like, iChat or Skype, like we're doing now, and you can see me. And you already noticed.
Wait, I think there are some restaurants that actually do that, though.
Well.
Where they have, like, the video call-in.
It's Cafe Kristen right now. I'm experiencing Cafe Kristen. So I'm going to call back Cafe Kristen because I heard it's got really good reviews in the Zagat's Guide. So I want to...
As long as I'm in the review, should be fine.
Okay, so let me call the Cafe Kristen again.
Say hello.
Well, yeah, how do you answer a phone? Should
I usually don't.
Should I text the Cafe Kristen?
Probably.
Okay. Now, pretend it's 1996, and how old are you?
Two.
Oh, my God. Let's pretend... That'd be interesting, have you speak like a baby. No. Let's pretend it's a time when you would actually pick up the telephone and just say... Hello, Cafe Kristen. And then you can leave it at that. So let's try this again. All right. I'm going to dial the number for Cafe Kristen. Bring, bring.
Cafe Kristen.
Hey, what's so funny? Okay. That's what I feel like. If I'm the customer, you're already laughing. I already feel judged. I found out that this place...
I feel like that at work all the time.
I found out that this place seats ugly people... And screens their calls, and now you're laughing at me without even giving my case. All right, let's start the phone call yet again.
No.
Bring.
It's gonna get worse.
Bring.
Bring. Hello?
Hi, I'd like to make a reservation.
For how many?
Oh, for just me. Is that okay? I'm lonely. Can I eat at
the bar?
At the bar, but can I be seated at the center of Cafe Kristen, please? I'd like to be seen by everybody. What's going on? Are you watching a funny YouTube video at work? You shouldn't be on your phone at work.
I'm on my phone at work all the time.
Okay, well, can I request the best seat in the house, please?
Sure.
I have many dollars to give to your restaurant.
Works for me.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Do you need to see what I look like first?
No. Depending on when you get here is when we decide which seat's the best in the house.
Okay, if I end up bringing three of the ugliest people I can find, is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
But you'd be separated.
Oh, we're going to be separated? How come? Not enough room at that center table, or...?
Yeah, it only seats one.
Oh, okay. So, how about the second best table that seats four, but everyone in the restaurant can see us? Can we have that table with me and my three ugly friends?
Sure.
Oh, I had heard rumors of your...
Difficult for you.
I've heard rumors. I mean, you're giving me exactly what the customer wants, but I've heard rumors at Cafe Kristen that you guys seat ugly people in the basement of your restaurant. So will I be seated in the basement with my three ugly friends?
Well, the basement is pretty nice. It's very well decorated.
Oh.
It has some lovely tables. It's great for privacy.
Okay, then. What if we don't want privacy? We want to just... We want everyone to look at us right in the center. Me and my three ugly friends. Will that be okay for your business?
Sure.
Excuse me, I didn't get that.
Sure.
Okay, thanks. Reservation for four for tomorrow, I guess. I'll see you then. Bye. Okay, well, that was... That,
terrible.
That's how it should be. Not the places here in France land that are apparently seating ugly people in awful spots. So you, I applaud you, Kristen. The applause, applause, applause. I know you live for it.
Thanks for Kristen.
I know you live for the applause. And good job. You keep your job, except you will be written up for using your phone all the time at Cafe Kristen, even though it's the restaurant of your own name.
It's still my house, my rules.
Well, I didn't say you were the owner. You. What if it's a place? What if Cafe Kristen only hired people with the name Kristen? Now that would be very judgmental.
Annoying.
Yeah. Because especially when you know, every time a waitress comes up, you say, "Hi, my name is Kristen. I'll be your waitress tonight. You know, let me know if you need anything." And then someone randomly goes by and be like, "Oh, can I get something?" Like, "Oh, who's your waitress?" And you're like, "Kristen." Be like, "Well, I'm Kristen." But I could see that being very confusing. But I guess at Cafe Kristen, you said you make the rules, apparently. So let's see here. What happens when people call to make reservations? We just saw an example of that. The restaurant's personnel obviously can't tell if someone is good-looking or not just by hearing their voice, so the solution is that of saying, "We'll do what we can, but we can promise nothing." So, yeah, I mean, that seems very, very appropriate, I guess. Yeah, yeah. The decision of where to place the guest is taking the minute they show their faces. It's not only the guests who are selected according to their looks, but also the hostesses working for the two Parisian restaurants. As former employees recall, women have to be tall, model-looking, and younger than 30 in order to be hired. So, not only are they criticizing those... that are eating and giving them money, they're also very selective on who they have working at these fancy schmancy.
What happens when the waiters turn 30?
They kill them in the basement. They take them to the kitchen. They grind them up, and then it's the meal. It's
or like, what if they're 30, but they don't look 30?
Ooh, that's... That's a question for another podcast, I think. So, yeah, that's pretty much that article. I don't think I'm ever going to be in that position as far as going to fancy restaurants, because I don't like going to fancy restaurants. What about you?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, exactly.
I would only go to a fancy restaurant for a special occasion or, like, a first date.
There you go. Or, a special occasion could be, like, let's say Diana Agron is seen at Cafe Kristen.
Hell yeah, I'd be there in 30 seconds flat.
So, exactly, and, but otherwise...
Even the dates, it depends on, like, the person's personality, so it's more or less just, like, a special occasion type deal.
You sound like a good person, Kristen. I'm glad I met you.
I try. Otherwise, it's pizza all the time.
See, that's why I asked that question, because I knew exactly the kind of places you go to, like Taco Bell and McDonald's. And
oh, God, it's bad.
I mean, those. I don't frequent those places as much as I used to, because I'm now 30, and even they are turning me down now, so I'm dumpster diving at the
Man,
back of these.
I go to Taco Bell at like 2 in the morning just for churros.
I would if I guess. How close is Taco Bell to you?
About 15 minutes.
I guess that's not too bad. I guess mine is about 15 to 20, so I was assuming it was going to be closer.
Depends on how bored I am. That's... You're talking about building one closer to me, but okay. As of right now, I think that's upon the safe distance.
Upon your request, where you're like, "Dear Taco Bell, I work at Cafe Kristen, but I hate their expensive food, but instead I like Taco Bell and want a closer Taco Bell." Is that how, why they might be building a closer one? You wrote in.
As long as they keep the employees they have at their store and get new people at this new one, I'd be good.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose when I was your age, I did that same thing too, where I'd just, you know, go at like 2 a.m. But when it's 2 a.m. by me eating Taco Bell, then I get up in 3 hours for work, so that probably won't sit too well. So, but now I really want Taco Bell. That's...
Yeah, I kind of want a churro right now.
I didn't have a churro until this year was the first time.
I know, you're crazy.
I know, that was the one thing holding me back from, I was trying to get into this mental institution, and they asked, "Have you had a churro before?" And I'm like, "Nope." And then they're like, "All right, you're in." And then, but then I had a churro the next day, and then they declined my my application. I don't know why I was applying to go in there, but apparently that's the end of my joke. Thanks for the courtesy laugh, maybe. I don't know. Let's see here. I think we have time for one more here. Do you have time for one more?
I do.
All right. Now, you haven't seen the Avengers yet, have you?
No.
Now, that really, I like to put you on the spot because I knew you haven't. It's on Netflix, right?
I don't know. You keep telling me it is.
Let's
I'm always at work.
Okay. But you're also a huge Joss Whedon fan.
I am.
So you need to correct that.
I'll watch tomorrow morning when I get off of work.
There you go. Sounds like a deal. But have you seen Thor? No?
No.
Okay, well, I guess here's the next topic. This is why I bring this up. Here's our next topic. Two-headed snapping turtle named Thor and Loki attacks freak show star Todd Ray. Now, freak show is in a quotation mark. I'm assuming that's a TV show?
I've never heard of it.
Okay. I thought maybe you would have if you... I don't know. I think you probably...
I usually hear of all the strange things because I'm weird, but I have not heard of that.
Okay, I'm assuming because, yeah, freak show star Todd Ray. So let me go to this article here. For Todd Ray, it was a snap decision. Oh, I see what they did there. To own a two-headed snapping turtle. Keeping both heads happy, healthy, and content isn't easy. Ray owns the world's largest collection of two-headed animals. What? Which he showcases at Venice Beach Freak Show in Los Angeles. Recently, he added the two-headed snapping turtle to his multi-headed, I don't know what this word is, naming one head Thor and the other head Loki. Now, since you don't know Kristen, which I shouldn't have put you on the spot for that, but Thor and Loki are adopted brothers. So, that is why the snapping turtles, the guy must like Thor. So, Thor and Loki. So, you're on board for that.
Well, then, why couldn't they just name it Buffy and Dawn?
That is a good argument. I will file that away. I will email Todd Ray and ask him to change that, please.
Change the name of his turtle.
Yep, because a waitress at Cafe Kristen, who definitely hadn't seen Thor, but she's seen Buffy, so she cannot relate to this article that I'm giving on a podcast. He said they're fitting names, here we go, considering the animosity that snapping turtles generally feel toward one another, similar to the what they experience from the two Norse gods, which Loki and Thor would have their quibbles, their quarrels, if you will. But Buffy and Dawn did as well, so that would still work. So you're...
Yeah, world ended the world.
Exactly. So you're not far off yet. There's a quote here. Ray said, "I hope they can make it to adulthood," Ray told the Huffington Post. "These are vicious animals. I had a two-headed snapping turtle in the past, and two heads hated each other." I guess if he has a whole museum of, like, having two-headed animals, but have you ever seen a two-headed animal in person?
No.
Yeah, so it seems, apparently in L.A., it must be pretty common, because he's also had two-headed snapping turtles before. It seems like such a casual thing. But I guess if you have a show, freak show, I think it's a TV show. I guess if you have that, you have to have, you know, two-headed animals, mostly.
I didn't even know two-headed animals existed.
Yeah, I think I knew that, but I don't think they, like...
Sounds like Medusa, but...
I don't think they lived. Like, I guess that's what I thought about the story. Like, if there ever was that, I just didn't think, you know, they were born like that, born this way, if you will. And then I just figured they died due to, you know, complications. But apparently it seems to be a pretty normal thing. Let's see here. So far, they may not be too fond of their caretaker. The video above, which is awful for this podcast because I can't insert a video, shows them trying to bite him as he cleans them with a Q-tip. Well, if someone was trying to clean me with a Q-tip, I'd probably bite them too. So, in defense of the turtles, I understand where they're coming from.
What exactly was he cleaning off of them?
I don't know. Maybe they had eye gunk. Maybe they just woke up and they had some eye crispies going on. But you must... I don't know. I don't think I would ever try it, even if I owned snapping turtles. I don't think... I'd just let them clean themselves or just spray a hose at them and just fill up one of those turtle sandboxes of water and just have them, you know, jump in a turtle bath and... I don't know. I don't think I would want to try to clean a snapping turtle. So this guy's pretty much has it coming to him.
Hell yeah.
If Ray can keep the turtles from literally snapping at snapping each other's heads off, he said the two-headed reptile could eventually weigh 150 pounds. I've definitely seen large turtles at the zoo and stuff like that, but I don't know how... I don't have the facts of how big a turtle can get, but there is a picture, which I think I can tweet it out when I tweet the link for the episode. Let me find it in my photo album here. I think I took a picture of it. Maybe it didn't save. Oh, here it is. So I will hold this up.
Turtle?
Yeah, here's... This thing is pretty small because it's a baby, so it could get up to 150 pounds, so we'll see if you can see this on the Skype window.
Oh, it looks like the one that you saw when I went... Oh, I see the two heads now.
You know, what's interesting is that the way I'm holding this... Whoop, now that I got away from my images, let me bring that up. The way I was holding that, it almost looked like I was holding the turtles because I just had the fingers zoomed in. So let me bring that up, at least on my screen. Oh, hold on. This is great for the listeners at home. Let me... once again, the listeners, if you go to Twitter... at Anthony Latch, L-A-A-T-S-C-H, I will tweet out this picture that you can go to and check out the article. So, according to Kristen's view right now, does it look like I'm holding a two-headed snapping turtle?
Well, now that I know it's two-headed, yeah. And at first, I only saw the one head, and then I just saw a bunch of other eyes, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, one head, two head. But, I mean, it looks, in your viewfinder right now, it looks like I just... brought a turtle up to your screen, right?
Yeah.
Cool. That's all I wanted to prove, because that's perfect for those listeners at home. And with Skype, I can make anyone believe anything, even that I own a two-headed snapping turtle. Yeah, so that is that. Any final thoughts on that, Kristen?
That I kind of want to see a four-headed snapping turtle.
That would be interesting. You know, why stop at two, right? I mean... You seem you seem confident enough that you don't want to stop at two. You don't even want to see three. You just want to jump right to four.
No, because three's an odd number, and I'm weird.
Yeah, you are probably not a fan of Three's Company, or do you even know what Three's Company is? TV show.
Yeah. Okay. And I can even sing the theme song.
Well, there you go. Okay, you just earned some cred because remember. You were only two the last time I said, like, what, 90, what did I say, 96?
Yeah. I told you I have an old soul.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's good that you at least know what that is then. Yeah, so you want to see a four-headed snapping turtle. I wonder if that exists anywhere. I was going to bring up Google once. You got some time to hang out yet, do you?
Yeah. What?
Do you have some time to hang out yet?
I think so. I got like 30% left of my battery.
All right. Well, won't go on too long. Maybe another 10 minutes. But I just did a Google search for four-headed snapping turtle. I'll go to image because I don't want to read all these other random articles. Would you believe that when I did that, I only get single-headed? Those damn single-headed snapping turtles are so annoying. Whenever I see a single-headed snapping turtle, I think, you know, why am I not living in L.A. where I can see two heads? I don't even see a two-headed picture. Okay, now I came across the article I just talked about. Yeah, so it doesn't look like the four-headed exists, but it's something to strive for, Kristen. That's for sure.
I am determined to find a picture of it, even if it's Photoshopped.
even if you Photoshop it yourself, huh? Well, Christmas.
I can't Photoshop. I'm not good.
Well, Christmas is coming up. Maybe if you put a four-headed snapping turtle on your Christmas list, maybe you'll get one.
Yeah, okay. My dad actually found a little baby snapping turtle on, like, our sidewalk. We don't know where it came from because turtles aren't really that popular around here.
They're not popular. Like, people aren't fans of them. Like, there was a bunch of them, and then he's like, we don't like you, and then
they all left. No, they're just, it's not, like, their area for
them. Okay.
But we stuck him in a family friend's pond, so.
Well, that was smart, actually. Finally, after pages of typing in snapping turtles, finally there's a picture of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. I'm surprised it took that long until that image popped up. Have you ever watched the Turtles movies or cartoons or anything?
I haven't.
Ooh.
I mean, I've kind of heard of them.
Yeah.
I've seen bits and pieces, but I can't say I actually see
See, I grew up with them and the action figures and the cartoons and the shows and the comics, and actually just bought the original collection of, like, the first set of issues of the original Turtles comic books. But you would think, you know, I was a pretty big Turtle fan growing up, but I think if we had Turtles, like, as a kid, like, finding them in the park and stuff, but the last time, well, whenever I go biking on the trail and stuff and walking, I usually see the big snapping turtles coming up on the trail. So I usually have to pay attention when I'm biking so I don't, hit a speed bump and run them over and then fall to the ground and then have them snap my leg off or something. But I usually posted pictures anytime I came across a big snapping turtle because they do get pretty large around this area at least. And but the last time I touched a turtle, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, there was one outside behind work. I went to go take out a pallet, put it in the stack behind the grocery store, and there was a little turtle, maybe the size of, like, you know, my hand, that was just crawling around. He was in the middle of, like, where technically all, like, the big semis come through and everything. So I figured, I'm like, oh, well, this guy's probably going to get squished. I'm going to do a good deed for humanity and for nature, and remove the turtle and just put him in the grass or something. And I picked him up, and I didn't know anything about this, but apparently they must have a defense mechanism. Can you guess what would have happened other than, like, a biting? Any guess?
No. Give one. I mean, I know their necks extend, but no. Yeah.
One, I want you to think of what you think could be, like, the craziest thing, like a defense mechanism. Let's say the turtle, Let's say the turtle couldn't reach for an axe or a bat, like Robin with a Y at the beginning of the podcast. Let's say this turtle didn't have its snapper to use. It had to use some other type of defense. What do you think it did to me when I picked up that small, tiny turtle?
Pissed on you.
It did. It totally did. I picked it up, and I had no clue. I, like, picked it up, and all of a sudden a stream just started shooting out at me, and I basically dropped it. It landed. Everything was fine there. You know, he was okay. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I didn't know if that's a common thing. So apparently,
how did you pick it up at the wrong time?
I guess, but I'm assuming it was just freaked out that I came out of nowhere basically and picked it up, you know, 6 feet up into the air. But little did it know, I should have introduced myself. I should have knocked on his shell first and called him up like I called up Cafe Kristen. It would probably just screened my call though and stayed in the shell. But yeah, all of a sudden just like a huge stream of urine came shooting out at me, and I literally just said like, fuck you, turtle, I tried helping you, and I just walked away. I don't know whatever happened to it, but I think it got away safely. Seemed to be a lot of turtles that came up to the store, because there'd be one like, I'd be like one of the first ones coming to work in the morning, and there was one that was literally by the front door. So I snapped a picture of it, and I think we put it on our Facebook page for the store, and just said like, oh, sorry, Mr. Turtle, the store does, we sell donuts at 7 or something like that. Do you have any crazy turtle stories other than the finding? You said they're not very popular by you, but...
No, and it's weird because there's quite a few creeks, mm-hmm. but there's not really
like
many
Dawson's
turtles.
Creek?
No, they're not like that big. They're like little water creeks, like muddy water snake creeks.
I had to bring up Dawson's Creek because I got you into that show. You finally watched it and loved it.
I watched the entire series.
Yeah, in like a week or two. How long did it take you?
Probably about a week and a half.
Yeah, it's pretty darn good because that's, 6 seasons? Yeah.
I think so.
First season was half a season, technically 13 episodes. But, yeah, to do that in a week and a half, that was, especially for a show that's pretty dated, that a show that started when you were only 2 or 3, to bring that around. We're doing pretty good with the callbacks here. Yeah. So I think that pretty much wraps up the turtle segment. Are you very happy with how the turtle segment went, Kristen?
I am, because who doesn't like turtles?
Exactly.
I even have a turtle on my wall.
Explain.
No, like a coloring photo of a turtle.
Okay, because...
on my wall.
Because first you tell me...
I got a turtle, I got an octopus, and I got an elephant.
Kristen, do you live in a zoo?
I feel like it.
the Cafe Kristen is Cafe Kristen. We just found out is the restaurant within the zoo that you live in. So because you've got turtles and seagulls or whatever the heck you just said, octopuses,
elephants, and
octopi. I think if it's two of them, two headed.
Only one, so we're good.
Is it a two headed octopi? Octopus?
No, but it's eight-legged.
Okay, so, yeah, that's pretty... Otherwise, I guess that's where the name comes from, so... yeah, so I think that can wrap it up. We discussed 3 awesome topics. We had the axe-throwing champion, Robin with a Y. Would you be friends with Robin with a Y? She sounded pretty cool.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, she's an axe-throwing champion. It didn't go into actually... You know, to her story on why, you know, about her axe championship skills. But I'm assuming she must be very good at it to be labeled as that. And then our second story, the French restaurant.
The damn French.
Exactly. Well, we just lost half of our listeners, Kristen. I'm very popular in France. But now they might be tweeting it at me saying... Kristen hates the French people, and then they...
Well, it's because you gave them your Twitter name, mine's safe.
That's true. That was a mistake on my part. So you can reach Kristen at blah, 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 blah. Anyways, not that we hide it, but we don't... I don't know. You can give it out if you want.
I'm sure they'd probably find me.
Okay, let's leave it at that. You don't actually tweet that much anyways, so...
Unless if I get into, like, a tweeting mode, then I won't stop. I've gotten days where I'll tweet a whole bunch, and then there's days where I just haven't tweeted anything.
Yeah, and then there are days that I will tweet a lot, and then there are other days where I will still tweet a lot. So, I tweet a lot.
I used to, and then I got busy with work and stuff, and now it's either work or sleep.
I hate how that happens, huh? Work always getting in the way of fun and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then finally, our turtle segment went well. We both love turtles. So three topics there. Did you have fun, Kristen?
I did have fun.
Good. Yeah, I think that definitely worked out real well. And I have one question for you. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
If I asked you, would you come back on the Anton podcast again?
I would.
All right, good. Mission accomplished. That was my goal because I've reached out to a couple people. You're the first one to follow through with jumping onto the podcast through Skype and everything. I've got people that live in, like, the next city or even in the same town that don't have time for it and haven't had that interest to jump in and have a conversation like this. So I thank you very much for being I mean, my friend Erica was on for the – we had a reading of a comic book for Thor – a character that you know nothing about.
No, but I think I listened to that podcast.
It was only like 13 minutes, so that's wasn't much to ask for, I guess. You think you listened to it?
I think so, because it sounds really familiar.
We were, let me see if I can remember a line from it. I'd be like, what of Asgard? Does that sound familiar?
I remember she was trying to do an accent of some sort and started cracking up.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Well, I put some outtakes at the end. Maybe that's what you're...
Maybe. I don't know. I remember listening to something about that. You were doing some kind of reading.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, thank you for listening to that. But yeah, now we have a reason that once this is up, you can spread my links. You can tweet it out. And maybe you'll have people that want to listen to and that kind of, you know, hopefully it was enough just... random conversation that we're not ruling people out. Like when I talk about comic books, it's only going to appeal to a certain crowd. But when we talk about French restaurants and axes and turtles, that appeals to
Buffy.
And Buffy. That appeals to all the axe champions out there. It appeals to all the turtle enthusiasts, including Ray somebody, I forget what his last name was. And it appeals to the French, which you already turn them away, so they stop listening. But anyways, yeah, so that is the podcast. You have a final goodbye for the listeners out there?
Peace, yo, bro.
Very gangster of you. And I will end it, even though it's not a comic book related one, I'll just end it the way I end all the Anton episodes. I've been Anch, and I'll see you between the panels.